All right, Dieter Hutch. Levi Stadium, football game, night. I would pass the cognitive test.
This game has stolen the ability to complete full sentences from us.
Yeah, what a stupid, stupid game that was.
Also, we predicted it would be a stupid, stupid
game. Yeah, no, I don't think we got anything wrong. It just feels real dumb.
I did explicitly predict 3 Nick Bosa sacks, but I also...
How many did he get? One.
Thought he was going to line up against Guyton Moore. Didn't do as well as I thought.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on from that. Moving on. That was a flop fest, folks. It was bad football. One great quarter. One glorious quarter.
One legitimately awesome quarter for the 49ers.
Isaac Arendo. I think if you're going to take anything positive from this game, I think the takeaway is probably play over Mason.
I mean, I think it's naturally built in with Mason's shoulder injury and not being able to touch it. But is it any surprise that Brock Purdy started moving the ball better when he had a check down option from the backfield? I don't think so.
It was clear to me, and I think everyone watching, that he is just a natural. I mean, not like the greatest receiver we've ever seen, but like knows what he's doing as a receiver much more than Mason.
He had that one catch out in the flat where he just snags it out. It was a terrible throw from Purdy, and yet he still caught it. So, like, clearly he has some gift in that realm.
And something he does is like the way – and we've compared him to Mostert. Kyle Shanahan compared him to Mostert.
He wears 31.
Wears 31. But the way he tests edges – I think is distinct.
Yeah.
Like it's really
like a kid at BYU, just really working the edge.
100%. And that's like
he's soaking. It's over something here, is what I'm saying.
It's something where it's like, even if it's not blocked up perfectly, angles don't really work the same on him that they do for a normal running back. And that just changes the way safeties get to him. It changes a lot of things, and it just gets you a couple more yards on a play that's either not perfectly blocked or just mediocre.
It's telling, right, second drive, third quarter, the 21-0 third quarter.
Yep.
You have Purdy passing to Garendo for 12 yards to start the drive. And then, of course, Purdy has a nice little scramble to extend on a third down. And then ultimately the pick play touchdown for George Kittle. Still not quite sure why that wasn't. I guess it was because Conley was engaged.
The safety, the corner kind of pulled him in, and it was like it was something where I was like, I don't think it should have necessarily been a flag, but the fact that they – called it and then picked it up surprised me. There were some head scratching things in this game.
Oh, it was a very, very strange game. But then you also, you had a couple of really good Garendo plays. I gotta say this too. So something that Kyle went to and something we talked about earlier in the week was okay, you don't have Christian McCaffrey, you don't have a pass catching back out of the backfield. It's clearly something that this offense requires against man to man. Maybe put Debo back there. And they tried that. Debo has no juice. I understand he's in the hospital. I'm not holding it against the guy. The guy had no juice before he went to the hospital. He came back. Guess what? He was not magically healed with IVs and antibiotics. Like, he's in. He looks slow. The only play he didn't look slow got called back.
It's one of those things where when Debo's at his best, like those plays where he was at the edge, there was one where his juice blocking out in front of him. And he was sort of waiting for juice, I guess, to make the block. But, like, Debo at his best is just running full speed to the edge, and he's testing Trayvon Diggs. And he didn't test Trayvon Diggs.
Right.
He, like, stopped and shuffled and waited his feet. And you're like, clearly, I don't think he feels like he's at 100%. Otherwise, he'd just be sending it to that edge and just going for it, and he would break a tackle and die for the pylon, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, he didn't have the speed to just go for it. And I think that was notable and apparent on a few plays where they tried to get him out in space on the edge and he just didn't have that. Like him with the ball in his hands at his best is like one of the fastest players in football.
Right.
And it's just not that.
And he had a couple of plays where he was getting downhill a little bit. There was that drag route over the middle where he was able to get ahead of steam. But in terms of putting his foot in the ground and accelerating, it's gone. It's over. And that is, listen, you have to work with what you got. I don't think that that's a surprise to anybody with the 49ers here for a good time, not for a long time. But ultimately, it does force you to change how you game plan because you don't have that backup option. The reason they got Christian McCaffrey in the first place was they couldn't keep doing that with Debo. And the reason that they needed to go back to Debo is because they didn't have Christian McCaffrey. Guess what? They have neither. And I don't know if Christian McCaffrey's coming back after the bye or not. I don't know if Christian McCaffrey's ever going to look like the Christian McCaffrey we saw last year or the years before. But Garendo, who does have a little bit of scat back in him, who does have the ability to catch the ball.
And he's feeling himself a little bit.
Like as well he should. I mean, again, he could have scored another touchdown tonight, slid. He's not a great running back, but he is a great athlete.
Yep.
Who has a...
I mean, he ran into McKivitz on the first drive. What is it?
Yeah.
Just ran square, like...
just right into his ass.
Right.
Doing his Ezekiel Elliott.
But he's also a guy that, like, we knew didn't know how to play running back coming out, and he's figuring it out. I mean, it's... And every game, you're seeing it.
One way to get better is to play and to practice. And, again, I don't know what's going down with McCaffrey. I think that everyone is talking like he's going to come back. I maintain skepticism. See. But...
I'll believe it when I see it. And that's the thing. It's like, so listen.
Is that not the motto for this team right now?
Right. Well, that's their whole sales pitch, right? The sales pitch is, okay, yeah, it doesn't look great, but we're going to get McCaffrey back. And when we get McCaffrey back, that'll solve everything. And sure, that's possible.
Does he play defensive tackle?
Right. My thing is, if you're looking to one player, and granted, for McCaffrey to be the one player is like an outlier.
Yeah.
But if it's just him and you're like, he's going to solve everything, I think there's fundamental issues with this team on protections, how they're blocking. Like, there's so many plays where somebody gets blown up, and it's not necessarily always the offensive line. Like, George Kittle missed a block on what was the first run play.
Yeah.
There's,
well, Garendo missed a huge block, almost got Brock Purdy killed.
100%. And that was the one I think Pearsall was wide open.
He was.
That was still questionable for another reason, that you're having a five-step drop on a second and three, and you're kind of trying to wind the clock down.
Against the nine-man blitz.
Right. Like, I get it. So you got a big front, and you don't want to run against that.
They just hate picking up blitzes. This team hates it.
Yeah. Listen, McCaffrey's the
guy. McCaffrey always the hot route.
Yeah.
Did we just not notice that?
I think 100 out of 100 times.
I mean, clearly. Well, not just make Garendo the hot route, because you definitely don't want to back their pass pro.
But it's like, you got a lot of questions, right?
Yeah.
It's like defensive tackle. They were getting moved around, especially early. Like, it's Zeke Elliott and Dalvin Cook, and the Cowboys are pretending like it's 2019. There were times in this game where they were, like, running the ball effectively.
They were running the ball well.
And they're, like, maybe the worst run offense in the league. And
Dalvin Cook actually looked like he had a little juice.
All right.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe Rico Dowdle could have done that too. The fact that Ezekiel Elliott was running the ball with some success is all you need to know about how the defensive tackles play. By the way, if anyone sees Leonard Floyd, let him know that he's needed. The 49ers have paid him a lot of money. He's been missing since week two, and really quite a tragedy for a man who is just coming into the heart of his career to be lost.
They got some pressures, but it was not like. This was a game. It felt like they could have been consistently pressuring Dak, and I did think Dallas chipped Bosa well and
did
a lot
of good
things.
Chipping. That's a good call.
But man, like, you had to get more. Also, the fact that this was not a 20-point laugher, that the third quarter happened and then they let Dallas back into it, tells you everything you need to know about where this team is at.
Yeah,
and that was my column: is that they're unserious. Maybe they could be serious.
Mm.
They come out of the bye, they get McCaffrey, they get Jennings back, Debo looks better, and maybe they get a shiny new toy at the trade deadline. I don't personally know what you can get or that this team is sold enough to say, all right, let's go trade a draft pick, especially after how you drafted this year and all of your rookies are like the only viable players you
have. Well, it's interesting. Yeah, the rookies are like the only good players, and we kind of joke about that, but also kind of not. Like, Pearsall was your best wide receiver today.
Who, like, didn't get looked at in situations where he's, like, open at times. And that's
– to a degree, understandable.
Yeah, understandable.
And then, you know, I don't know if I want to give Pooney any love after today's game, but he's been –
He's been
forgettable. That's a positive.
Yeah. He's been started off good. Teams have like more of a book out on him. He missed one today. There was one really, really forgettable play for him.
For sure.
But he's been mostly good.
You just don't notice him most of the time, which is more than you can say about his guard counterpart, Banks, your counterpart. You have Renardo Green is the best true outside corner on the team. Lenore's the best defender on this team right now.
Yeah, we'll see what his injury, how bad the ankle injury is, because Jair, that was the other open CeeDee Lamb touchdown, as Jair just cracked him, and it was man coverage, and he just got destroyed.
Yeah, you're wondering why they didn't cover him. Well, there was a couple of plays where they decided not to cover 88, which is an interesting defensive
tactic. The only functional player on their offense.
He's really good. He's a good player.
He's very good.
I got to take back all the shit I talked about CeeDee Lamb because he was wrecking. I mean, by the way, couldn't get him the ball in the critical downs of that game.
But that said, they almost did have a pick because they knew exactly where they were going to go.
And that's three guys in the row.
The problem is the 49ers were so well prepared that Fred Warner, I thought it was going to be like.
How many times did that happen this year where guys just keep knocking down clear?
It was the Cardinals game, right? Where Devondre Campbell swatted it and Fred would have had a pick six.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd did it earlier this season, too. Yeah. That's the only player I remember Leonard Floyd making.
Fred did it to Lenore.
It was a hot mess of a game for a hot mess of a team and a hot mess of a first half. And I think that if you want to take any consolation or solace or relief, you can just say this team played like absolute dog shit in the first half. I mean, I understand. Oh, we had penalties. They took away a big play. Your quarterback looked like shit. Your defense couldn't get off the field on third down. You were holding left and right. Like, I'm not giving you the benefit of the doubt because a touchdown was taken away.
Let me just read the first drive. Kittle misses a block. Pearsall is not lined up correctly.
Right.
And
that was brutal.
And Conley was trying to get him to get lined up. And then they snuck the ball, and it's a five-yard penalty.
Yeah.
Debo wheel route, great play, but Brock throws him. Oh. It should probably be a touchdown because he's against Eric Kendricks, and there's no one there.
Yep.
Then there's a hold on Kyle Juszczyk. Mm-hmm. And then third and 10, you run it up the middle. 50-yard field goal.
Anders Carlson had a nice game.
He did. And that was just the first drive.
This
was like pretty nearly threw a pick to Kittle because it was a late window throw.
That's right.
Garendo ran into McKibbitt's ass, and then Purdy and Kittle were not on the same page on that third down, even though Kittle was wide.
I mean, it was brutal, and Brock was rushing throws, looked like the game was too fast for him.
Looked lost in the first half.
He looked bad. And then, second quarter really wasn't that much better. You get the big, 66-yard touchdown on a play perfectly drawn up by Shanahan, perfectly executed for everybody except Eric Saubert, who's out there.
Yeah.
You text me right before and it's going, oh, they're going 21 personnel, no time to fuck around. But then they went and fucked around. And then, of course, Purdy on that same drive misses that pass right over the middle to a wide-open Debo Samuel on fourth down. And so you're looking at this and going, like,
just way, way behind him.
Unbelievable.
And there's also another play where Conley was like opening a window.
Yeah.
And I think he took like a shorter throw to Pearsall.
Yeah.
And he just didn't rip it. And it's like he looked at it and then went, and then took the short. And it's like when we've seen Brock at his best, he's just seen that and trusting it. And you can see him not trusting things in the way he has in the past.
And understand to a degree, understandably, right? Your offensive line is constantly failing in front of you. You don't know who the hell your receivers are.
You're probably
running around a little bit too much, And there's a lot of man-to-man, so that option's always there in the back of your head. You might as well take it sometimes because it's probably a better play than trying to get it in a tight window or trying to intercept. Kyle, I'm sure, is like, can't throw interceptions. You can't throw interceptions.
Right.
You can't throw interceptions. Well, that shit gets into the back of your head if you're trying to rip it. And man-to-man, you got to rip it. So
yeah, and it's hot that. Answer and is always safety valve McCaffrey, where he's like, fuck it, I can throw a 3-yard little dink and he'll
that's
probably
14 yards for me.
Right, like that's gone.
Yeah,
so
it's nice to know that you can always get a 5-yard gain.
And then they started running it in the third quarter
when Garendo comes in. Well, Garendo comes in and they immediately run it for 19 yards, but Kittle gets called for holding. And you're like, this is just going to be the longest. That's how they ended the first.
Oh, no. I thought they had two good runs, and then they had a timeout or something. And
oh, that's correct. 19-15-19, but they held.
Right.
That's right. And it's just every time
there was a stoppage in play, they had a fuck up on the next play.
And so you're just like, this is an unserious team, as you noted. But then they come out. I mean, listen, they had four straight three and outs forced against the Dallas offense. That matters. They go 43 yards on the first drive. I mean, listen, no, Dallas offense sucks. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't three and outs
to
start.
That's
and
true.
Then, you get the 43-yard pass to Kittle. You come back with a Diamador Lenore touchdown.
Yep.
You come back with a nice, I mean, it's a short field, but you get the seven plays. You stay on,
Where were they up, 17?
Well, now they're up to 10, and then they get another three and out. Then Purdy has that sweet little improv thing and is able to keep a drive going. And they drive, 9 plays, 75 yards. And now they're up 17. And then they're like, okay, that's it. We're good.
Yeah. And then they're just like, pack it in. We're good.
But like, let's take note of the fact that their season was 100%. Like, I don't want to caveat anything.
Right.
Their season is 100% on the line. And they come out in the third quarter and they just laid the wood to them on four straight possessions and go up 17 points in a game where they frankly had no business competing. It's very, and this is not an apt comparison. It's not fair because they don't have this kind of talent anymore, but it's very Warriors-like from when they were really dicking around in the KD era where they're oh, third quarter, I guess we'll just blow these dudes off the face of the earth and then dick around for it. They shouldn't feel that confident, but it's nice to know they can actually do the thing.
They can do it. And I think that's why you hear them express so much confidence. But for me, it's like, okay, you can do that.
Yeah.
But like, there's not nearly enough consistency and enough talent and reliability throughout. There's so many young players. Like, as much as the rookies are great, like, Pearsall's still learning. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't fully trust Cowing. You're putting Ronnie Bell out there.
I could have used more Cowing in this game.
I'm with you. And the one Ronnie Bell play, like, you saw Purdy screaming at him.
What the fuck are you doing, Ronnie? You're not blocking and you're not running.
It was a third and three. Right. It was a third and three. And so it's like Purdy's going
to
scramble.
Third and one. He wanted to third scramble. Third and one. Bell never blocked for him. So he would have gotten blown up.
Right.
And he couldn't have done that extendo arm.
Right. So it's like if Purdy's going to scramble, he's going to get it on his own. Like, you're a receiver. Receive. Block. And that's what happened with Braden Willis in the preseason.
That's
where Purdy's like, come back to
Guess
the ball.
Guess who got cut?
It's just, it's rough.
I do think that if they want to make some moves, defensive tackle is the place they got to start. I got to give some shout outs to Devondre Campbell. I thought he actually had a very nice game.
Yeah, he missed a couple, but he had two nice tackles. No, I'm with you.
But
he made a couple nice plays. He had a really good run stop.
He wasn't in duds for the first time all season. Studs and duds. I put it out at the end of every game. He wasn't in duds.
That's fair.
7 of 8, but he wasn't in this one. So that's a win. Kicking game was fine. Special teams, honestly, I think the bigger mistake was from Dallas.
Dude, how are you going to take the ball out of Kevontae Turpin's hand on that?
That was wild. Also, jury duty, not getting it into the landing zone.
Yeah.
Though he's sick.
I will say, Anders Carlson intentionally kicking it out of bounds because they're like, the only way Dallas is going to beat us.
Yeah. That's their best offensive play. Yeah.
Who, by the way, this game is like a Kevontae Turpin catch down the sideline on that third.
That's the thing, he can't catch.
Right. Which is fair.
he's the greatest player in NFL history. He's Tyreek Hill if he can catch.
Yeah.
But he cannot catch.
I'm with you.
And we saw it on a kick return. He just dropped it. It didn't matter because he like dribbled it like he was fucking Jimmer Fredette and just kept going. But this was just a hot mess of a game for a hot mess of a team and a hot mess of the first half. And I wonder if having to click in for just a minute, for just a stretch there in the third quarter, is this team having a sobering moment and saying, okay, hangover time's over.
Right.
Let's get it on. We'll come back. We get Tampa Bay, who's themselves a hot mess right now.
Yeah, no Godwin, no Evans.
I mean, there's something to be said for the possibilities here. They could also just not be a very good team, and we can just be on the up and down machine for the rest of the year.
Got to prove it. As much as that's coach speak, like genuinely, I can't believe anything from this team.
Yeah.
Like, I think what you can do with this team is say, all right, the first half of the season is over. We're starting from zero. Let's pretend we've never seen this team before and clean slate. Let's see what they do against Tampa, who has Vita Vea, which is one of those players that is really good against this sort of front.
And he can beat three men by himself.
But if you come out and you look good, this is a team that often, like when they get going in the right direction at the right time, they're like, they get sold on their own supply and it works.
Yeah.
So
I'm very, very interested to see one, what they do with the trade deadline, because clearly some augmentation, even a small one, right?
Let's
bring in another wide receiver, a depth wide receiver. I'm not talking, number one or anything like that, but like here's, Mike Williams wouldn't hurt on this team. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Just like that's your sixth wide receiver. It's another Conley type. It's not Ronnie Bell. Yeah. Because obviously Ayuk's not coming back, so you need to upgrade at the bottom end. You got a Farhan this thing. I would like to see another linebacker come in. D. Winters picks up a concussion today. They weren't going to play D. Winters.
Yeah, they played Tatum Bethune for like one snap.
Yeah,
they don't trust him.
A couple more. Yeah, and so they probably need another linebacker unless they want to go with Jalen Graham, which some people suggest they should.
It's the trouble I have with this team is, I mean, I think if you're going to go clear spots, wide receiver, defensive tackle, linebacker, right?
That's right.
But
they're
never going to do that.
I think a second tight end might be.
We've been saying that for a decade.
That's fair.
And they've never listened to us, and the dream is dead. And we believed in Eric Saubert, and he had one incredible game,
and
I liked it. But, like, he's a good blocking tight end, except for that one play.
What if now that we've completely given up on the possibility of two tight ends, they're like, we can do this now.
I would love
Peter and Jake are off.
Jordan Reed, remember the Jordan Reed experiment? They could just never get him and Kittle on the field at the same time. Yeah. And he had that one shoestring catch. Should we take some questions?
I think we should do some questions. If you have questions, get them in there. Or comments. We can just do comments. We can do that too.
Questions, comments.
Okay, let's go with concerns. Let's talk defensive line. Very low confidence. I presume this is Jesus or Jesus. We're going to call him the Jesus, saying he has low confidence on the defense, especially defensive line. I actually thought the secondary was pretty good in this game. I know CeeDee Lamb kind of messes that up.
It was it was one bust, and then you know, Renardo Green getting ramrodded.
If you have to target somebody 17 times.
Did he get targeted 17 times?
He got targeted 17 times. Like, you don't have that much else going awesome. For you. And, like, that guy makes a lot of money. I'm not that concerned with him getting targeted 17 times. Now, I will say, per others, here we go. This is Jimmy. What are you guys thinking of Charvarius Ward? Seems like his play has regressed a lot. And he was searching for himself on Twitter after the game, which is always a good look.
By the way, both number 7 corners had bad interactions with reporters after this game, which is just not good.
Not a good look.
Granted.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
Ward looks like he is compensating for a lower body injury.
So
that's my take on it.
Remember at the start of last year, it was looking rough where he held a lot, right?
Yeah.
And then as the season went, it got better. Either they stopped calling it less or he figured it out. It's a thing where, like, if you're in that position, and he's, like, in position a decent amount of time, mm-hmm. but he's just, like, so clearly grabbing. And even if it's not making a difference, his hands are, like, on that one in the end zone.
He doesn't know how to grab, apparently.
It's just so clear.
Instead of just shadowing right here, he's like, what if I got into your pits?
Right, like, you should.
That's like, what
and look, right.
Well, you're just trying to maintain connection.
Right.
You don't need to also try to be unhinging their shoulder pads.
Yeah. It's the way
easy for us to say
it's that clear. That's the real problem. And it's like, does he not think he can? I don't know.
I
need to watch this game's tape in all 22 to really, like, see.
He was giving a lot of cushion.
Yeah.
And I honestly wasn't able to pick up. I could see that Dallas was playing a lot of man to man. I wasn't able to pick up what the Niners were trying to do. It seemed like a lot of zone, but also it seemed like a lot of guys didn't know what they were doing, which is something we saw a lot against Kansas City too, where maybe they're mixing and matching and it's not coming together. I was not impressed by the defense, but I will say this. Safeties played fine. I thought Jair Brown had a nice game. I thought Mustafa had a nice game. Yep. I thought Renardo Green had a really good game. Diamador Lenore, I said it earlier, I'll say it again. I think he's the best player on this defense right now.
It's funny. I was thinking about it, and I was like, there's Fred Warner and Bosa, and it's very clearly Lenore is like the third most important player on the defense.
He might be the third most important player on the team right now. Purdy.
Yeah.
Purdy, Warner,
he might be more. Lenore. He might be more important. I can't say he's more important than both.
It's well, he's in defense, every time we have these conversations about, like, the pillars. That's now, Diamador
like
Lenore part of
Kittle.
It.
Like, today is a game where you're like, is Kittle the most important player on the offense? It's like probably not more important than Trent or Purdy, but, like, clearly no one else is more important than
there's him. No replacing him,
right?
I mean, I don't know what Brandon Allen would be able to do. I don't think there's replacing Purdy either, but
Kittle's also played well when they've had replacement quarterbacks, they just don't win. So.
It's true. Suffice it to say, as bad as Charvarius Ward's contract year has been, Diamador Lenore's contract year has been that good.
They're going to have to pay him.
They're going to have to pay him. I don't think there's two ways about it. And if they don't do it, somebody else will.
Yep.
And I think that at this point, all they can hope is that they somehow can fudge the numbers enough to where he doesn't get to make all pro as a cornerback, but rather as a defensive back, as to prevent him from having a very large
those negotiations are going to be disgusting.
They've already started to do it, right? When they put out the roster, they put him as a nickelback and a defensive back.
Like because he's doing more, he's worth less.
That's right. That's absolutely
That's how they're going to market it, and that's just how negotiations go. But.
All right. Eric, most realistic trade option. I like the one I already threw out there. I like Mike Williams.
Mike Williams is solid. I tried to look for defensive tackle options.
Not a lot.
Nothing.
What about the Panthers? Do they have any?
Let me just
– That's the other thing,
I'm just
too,
pull
when
up
you
the
have
entire
this
Panthers
incredible
–
I mean, I'm not a big Diontae Johnson guy. I can buy it.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson's an option. I don't like. I'm not sold on receiver unless you're getting
him
for.
I think what you need is a viable X receiver who isn't going to just somebody who can run the goddamn routes effectively.
Does Josie Jewell do anything for you?
No, he's too slow. He's too slow. He was a really good player in college.
What about Tommy Tremble as your third tight end?
I do like a Tommy Tremble in my life. I like that a lot.
There's that.
I think it's
a lot of players I have never heard of before.
I think it's more important to think defensive tackle, tight end, wide receiver, linebacker. Of those options in total, I would say wide receiver is most likely to get moved.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think the most impactful would be just like a gap plugging semi-young defensive tackle. That is tough to find, especially for relatively cheap. I don't know what teams are going to offer that and whether the 49ers are going to be willing to, you know, offer much for it.
Jimmy coming in saying, I heard rumors about DeForest Buckner. Let me tell you right now, I heard that rumor too. That's some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Like, the Colts love DeForest Buckner. The Colts, even though their quarterback can't complete a pass.
It's kind of awesome.
It's a fascinating experiment that they're running there. They're a very good run-stopping team. They have, what is it, former president Grover Cleveland? What's his name? Grover Stewart. They have a very impressive defensive tackle combo. Yep. That's the backbone of a defense that has to do way more than it thought it would have to do. They're not moving them. So Buckner's not going anywhere. DJ Jones, is DJ Jones still on the Broncos?
Yes. I saw him hauling ass to chase down a screen. He's still flying around. I think they still like him.
Ashawn Robinson.
He's not really a gap plugger, but he's a big boy.
He is a big boy.
He's a big boy with some athleticism.
He looks like Luel from Breaking Bad.
You could get him. He's not playing well, but he's also playing for the Panthers. So, and he just got paid. So,
Jesus saying trade for Quentin Williams. Can't afford him. Can't do it. Can't get him under.
No, you're thinking too big. Think both bigger and smaller.
You need to think fourth round, because the flip side of this is the Niners are one Brock Purdy twisted ankle away from drafting in the top 10.
Okay? Oh, genuinely.
So this whole thing is just hanging on by a thread. They can win the Super Bowl or they can be drafted seventh. There's really not that much difference with this football team. So you cannot hedge your bet on a draft pick and go like, well, we'll just give up a second or a third. That's the reason you're in the situation you're in right now. You traded all your second and third round picks for Christian McCaffrey, who was worth it. You also traded three first round picks for Trey Lance, who was inactive for the Cowboys tonight. So obviously not worth it. You have to, if you're going to move somebody, you can move a day three pick. Yep. That's fine. You've got comp picks coming out of your ears. You can figure that out. You cannot move top 100 picks at this juncture with the team that's 500. No. You can't do it. So I would try to get anything you can from the Jets. I would try to get anything you can from the Patriots, even though they won.
Has anyone ever heard of Jeremiah Ledbetter?
I've heard of Jeremiah Ledbetter. It's a viable option.
There we go. Jags. Anyone on the Jags?
Darnell Savage from the Jags.
Basically, anyone on the NFC South.
They got another safety. I forget his name. He's kind of speedy. He's an option too. But I'm taking safety off the board. That was something that I was actually pretty keen on, and understanding Dallas and Kansas City, it should be noted, not pushing it as far as I thought, but
one, I don't think the Patriots would trade.
This is Josh Uche.
I think Patriots really like him. Also, I don't think they're going to go for an edge rusher. I know they love to do that, but
not. I think that they think Yetur Gross-Matos is going to come back,
and they've gotten good production from Sam O.
Sam O's been great.
Who's like, they kind of have something with him slotted in at three technique on pass downs. They're not getting much from Floyd, but again, Floyd is probably out there more than they wanted, you know, with Gross-Matos. So, I mean, maybe, but I don't think edge rusher is something that they're going to say, all right, this is a desperate need, unless it's, you know, a great deal for a great player.
Jello saying that they're going to pay Greenlaw, Purdy, and Lenore. You got two of the three right there. Greenlaw's not getting paid. It's not happening.
We love Dre Greenlaw.
We love Dre Greenlaw.
But like,
nice guy.
He's coming off an Achilles.
Super fun player.
It's hard to imagine he's going to be anything close to the same. That's just how Achilles injuries work.
Yeah.
And
he's not getting paid. He got paid once.
Yeah.
Not getting paid again. If someone else wants to pay him, that's great for him. All the more power to him.
Older/veteran linebackers and safeties, it's something where you get paid, and then once the market collectively decides to not pay you, you basically never get paid again, regardless of what you do. It's how, like,
that's the safety market,
right? It's like how, like, Joe Flacco suddenly should, like, maybe be a starting quarterback somewhere, but, like, no one's ever going to do that. Not that I'm saying Joe Flacco.
Cisco is the guy I was thinking of. Thank you, Safi.
Oh, nice.
I do like Cisco. He fast. Probably do need another running back. Ian Sharp. I don't even know where you go, because
they've got Keyshawn Vaughn on the practice squad.
Can you send a 7th round pick to the Rams for a certain someone?
Who are you thinking?
I'm thinking Cody Schrader.
I wasn't sure if you were saying Jake Funk, who's
I'll take a Jake Funk too. I need a white boy running back on this team. They got a white boy wide receiver. We need a white boy running back.
I don't think they would trade back for Cody Schrader, but I think you can get like a backup running back somewhere off of practice.
Suffice it to say, we got ample time over the next week and a half. Luckily, nothing else is happening, and so we have nothing else to think about but trade deadline day, which is the most important thing happening on November 5th. So I'm actually happy it gives us something to actually think about.
It's great. Paying attention
to nonsense. Thanks, Nick. the climate is different, you guys. I am of the mindset that the Niners do need to make a little bit of a move. But anything bold and brash needs to be such an obvious win. Like, you can't turn that down. Like a Devontae Adams for a 3rd or 4th round. And you're like, fuck it, you got to do that.
Right.
But like giving up anything, like everyone talking Myles Garrett or, you know, something like you're not much smaller. You cannot give up a top 100 pick because you can see how valuable the top 100 picks are to this team this year. And you can see how by fucking up your top 100 picks the 2 years prior, this team's in a big hole overall talent-wise, and they're having to rely on rookies. Yep. Last one here. What changes do the Niners need to make on defense? Can't keep going to this prevent defense and giving up points when they get a big lead.
Sorry, one receiver name to throw out at you. They've got a great relationship with the Titans, who are open sellers.
Ooh.
The ghost of Tyler Boyd. Just saying.
I'm down.
Just saying.
I'm down.
Sorry.
Do you want to get a Calvin Ridley? It's not legal to gamble in California, so he'd be good.
Sure.
He can run away from the DraftKings problems. Changes that they need to make on defense. I mean, is it? I'm still not sure if Nick Sorensen's a good coordinator or not. No. The further this goes on, the more I have to think he's probably not. But we're not all the way there yet.
But he's also seen what happens when you like try and put your own stamp on it.
Yeah.
And Kyle's preference has always been simplicity and just
Fred's preference too.
Right. And just trust your personnel and kind of let Fred be in charge. And just, you know, play sound and be simple and occasionally run some stunts. Yeah. Some run blitzes, I think, would be a nice wrinkle given how weak they are on the interior of the defensive line.
I'll give you two things. One, I think you need to blitz Lenore more.
Oh, yeah.
They don't blitz
their DBs almost ever.
I
think they need Lenore in coverage so much that they're scared to do that.
Understandably. That's a fair concern. They're not wrong. I'd still like to see it more.
Yep.
Second, I'd like to see any other linebacker next to Fred Warner, just to find out. Third, I would like to see tighter splits on the defensive line.
Yeah.
I understand that's not their ball game. I think coming out of the bye week, I'd like to see Nick Bosa playing a 7 technique.
I think what happens with that, he gets chipped so often. He has such a long run-up when he's playing so wide. It leaves him really vulnerable. And when you're not getting stuff on the other side, they can just do that all day.
Yeah. And then ultimately, I do think that they need to get figure out who the free safety actually is. They've been mixing and matching, and I appreciate that. And I don't think that that's something you should go away from. But if Mustafa is the actual free safety here, I'm a little concerned about that. I'm a little concerned about either of them.
Well,
but I'd like them to just sort of lock somebody in so that they can.
I think they've been trusting Mustafa more in that role.
I think that's where they're going. But late in this game, it felt like Jair Brown was up more. And Is that because they trust Mustafa as a single high safety, or is it because they don't trust Mustafa as a line of scrimmage defender?
Yeah.
So I'd like an answer there.
By the way, just trade for anyone on the Titans roster, which we love. Like
we love the Titans roster. Chigakonkwo would be great.
Be awesome. You know?
Who else we got?
Another Nick Westbrook-Ikhine? Another, like, mediocre?
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, everyone's last-ditch option in fantasy
100%.
Football.
100%. Would they trade their new acquisition, Jerome Baker, as a backup linebacker?
Jerome Baker, never on
apparently, path. Ernest Jones, who I defended and almost got in an argument with someone online, is actually a nice discourse. Just had the hell, like, a horrible, horrible game.
He played today?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Well, because they played him at Mike, and it's like, it's tough to make him call the plays when you just got to play.
You know who they should go get?
Who's that?
Our good friend Alex Simon bringing it up.
I would love it.
Aziz played for the Texans.
Sorry.
Who are the linebackers for the Titans right now?
Well, as I just mentioned, you've got Jerome Baker.
Yeah.
And Kenneth Murray. Kenneth Murray's pretty good.
Oh, wow. Kenneth Murray? Like the former Oklahoma guy?
Former Charger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kenneth Murray.
I don't know. The fact that I don't know them off the top of my head doesn't give me any confidence that they're going to be in good.
This is a somewhat interesting question.
This is about Huff?
Yeah, well, he's probably not coming back. He's like going to wait 3 weeks and then try and put it in a cast. And then
it's a good question, though. Can you play him at weak side linebacker?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
I think you can play him at Sam, which is basically what he is.
Right.
But.
You know what, though? Let me throw this to you. Because Fred was drafted, and he was a safety. And then they're like, we're going to actually make him a weak side linebacker, move linebacker. And then they're like, oh, we'll just move him to middle. Maybe there isn't as much of a difference as I thought. Now, the issue is Huff isn't tall. Like, that does seem to be some sort of requirement to have a little bit of height.
Right, and you just face so much of the second-level blocking from, like, you get singled out, and if you're small, like, you just don't have the strength to deal with some of those offensive linemen. So I think him at Sam is like an intriguing proposition. If he can come back, it doesn't sound promising.
Who is the player on this 49ers roster you expect to see more of now that we've had a bye week and some time to work on stuff?
Cowing. That's a great answer. I expect to see almost none of Ronnie Bell after the bye.
He might not even be on the team. I'll say this. Jake Brendel had a game where I didn't note him once. So I think the Nuge is not imminent.
Also, the thing of, like, I forget who. I think it was honestly Alex Mack. It was Alex Mack, and we talked about it. And he had I don't know if anyone remembers, but Alex Mack had a pretty rough start to the season. I think the year they signed him. He was looking slow. He's looking rough. And he said something to the effect of, there's scar tissue. And, like, as you're older, it takes time for that scar tissue to wear down, for your legs to get under you.
You know it. You know, you get into about mile 10 of that bike ride. And you're like, I actually know what I'm doing here.
I said that about Devondre Campbell today, where I'm like, is he figuring it out? Is that scar tissue breaking down?
Yeah.
Is it actually the inverse, where I thought the wheels would come off in the second half?
Yeah.
And it's the other way around. And Brendel, like, have not noticed him as much. I wonder if that's the case. It's starting, all those calluses are starting to turn into functional muscle. It's no longer just loose cartilage bouncing around.
That's a nice thought. I think they were just playing the Cowboys. Okay, we will have content between now and the next game.
I think we'll have a
you tell me.
We'll have a mid-season. Where are they? Where are they now? Where are they going?
Who he play for?
Right. We'll have just a total check-in. With where people are at.
Yeah.
Maybe like a studs and duds thing.
Well, studs and duds is a good call.
And then like a trade deadline, either preview or trade deadline live spectacular.
Yeah, we'll do an extravaganza for sure.
And then
I want to talk about anything other than.
And then we'll hang out with our families.
No, I don't like that. That sounds bad. We shouldn't do that. Okay. We'll talk later.
Appreciate you, folks.
Bye. We should probably end this. I always want to leave the studio. Then we have to end.